This episode of That Reload Podcast is brought to you by Halteman Family Meats. For the full butcher shop experience without leaving your home, visit HaltemanFamilyMeats.com.
So,
what's happening right now, Jeremy?
We have a surprise.
Oh, God. You guys are the worst.
Oh, my God. What?
Welcome to another episode of That Reload Podcast. Guys, today we have the entire crew here. We're going to be talking about some upcoming events. We're going to reiterate on some things we've already talked to you about in the past. And we're also going to be talking about some beautiful Halteman fillets that we're going to be cooking with some bone marrow butter. Is that right, Jeremy?
Some bone butter, which is bone marrow.
Mm-hmm. Bone butter. Jeremy will be leading the charge on that. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and introduce the crew. I'm your host, Joel. To my left, we got Chef Jeremy.
Yo, yo, Buffalo.
In front of me, we got producer Matt.
Levels.
And to my right, the beautiful and talented Miss Stacy.
Hey, guys.
So, upcoming events. We, as of, 2 weeks ago, decided that we were all going to be taking our first trip collectively to Memphis in May.
I think first trip, ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First time any of us have been there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've always fantasized and been FOMO about all the people that go there. And almost, and even it's in my state. And
for that's some, your fantasy?
Yes. Well, with you, Jeremy.
Yes, us together.
That includes you guys.
So, big news, our Airbnb there has a room just for the guys. We're going to build a big pillow fort. We're going to stack the beds up. Yeah, it's going to be
bunk beds.
I'm so excited. Okay. But, I'm excited.
Yeah, so we kind of decided that we were going to do this, and we were going to go, and didn't take long, and I said, bing. We got an Airbnb. We're going.
Yeah, one of the more decisive things I've ever seen you do.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. The last, our upcoming trips is definitely something that I've easily pulled the trigger on.
She definitely was like, nope, we're doing it. You know, cha-ching. But I'm excited, man, because this is a big event, and I just, it seems so huge, and I'm really anxious to get there and just see all these people that we see online all the time.
So we decided we are going to go. We're not cooking or anything. We're going just to network, hang out with people, see what's going on, really get a feel for the whole event.
Hopefully meet up with any of you guys that are going to be there.
So for anybody who's not listening, we should sort of explain a little bit about what Memphis in May actually is, right? So
lay the charge.
It's a huge cooking contest. It's a big music festival. It's a huge it's a big festival on the river that Memphis puts on every year. So usually there's a big barbecue aspect to that. And it's sort of like everybody who is anybody in the barbecue community is there. They're either cooking, they're networking, I'm really excited because it's like Jeremy said, we're not going to be cooking this year. We're just going to sort of take the chance to take it all in and figure it out and hopefully meet up with a ton of people. I'm hoping to get some good pictures and video of us too.
And be spectators, for once, because we got it out of our system with Wing Fest, with cooking for 12 solid hours almost. And it was such hard work. And this time we're going to throw some backpacks on, walk around, get some content. Have some great barbecue, drink some beers, and really enjoy ourselves.
So. Yeah, it's almost kind of like I like this because it's kind of like reconnaissance. If we ever decided to go down there and cook, compete, whatever, we're really going to get the lay of the land and know about it.
Get a feel for it.
Know what to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, more, I don't like going into stuff not knowing how it's set up or what to expect for the day.
I would never guess that.
No,
you didn't like to be prepared.
Because when we went to Wingfest, I had never been. You guys had never been, right?
We had been there as customers.
Yeah. But I had no idea what to expect.
I didn't. Yeah. I had had some friends who had competed, and I had heard that it was tough, but I was totally unprepared for how tough it actually was.
I think, going back to that, when we went as customers, the place was packed, and I knew it would be like that, but I didn't realize how physically taxing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the one standing in front of the pit barrels.
Because they were like, you get a team of 10 people, and we're like, wow, all these people to help us cook, but we needed a team of 20 people.
We did.
Yeah.
Because we needed shifts, because it was just too much.
Man. So. No, it was. We were kind of cocky going into that competition.
Cocky, we took first and third. And,
well, I'm saying cocky well is founded. Cocky in the aspect of that
we got this.
Yeah, like this isn't going to be hard. We do this all the time. We have our system. What? Mm-hmm. How hard could it be?
Just to make some wings.
Yeah,
well, we were super prepared too. Like we had done a ton of practice. Like we had gotten together. We had our method down. Mm-hmm. We knew exactly how we were going to be seasoning them. The right ratio of the seasoning.
Every tool we needed.
We were ready,
and everyone told us, man, it gets crazy.
Well, I think it's safe to say that we earned that.
Yeah,
100%. That win for sure. But back to Memphis and May. So that was kind of the driving force as to why we decided we didn't want to compete.
Well, rolling back to what Memphis and May is, like the events that are cooked there, it's considered the world championship in pork. So whole hog, ribs, and pulled pork. This is the world championship. You win here, you're the best in the world. So
wow, I didn't know that.
Rolling in, first time, never having even been there, and cooking, that would be cocky in my opinion.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, our team is very methodical and strategic, and we're not going to go rolling up in there and try to take a big win not being prepared. So I think this is a great decision.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be fun, too,
because our Airbnb is pretty cool. And
we're going to have some good food. We're going to have some good drinks. Yeah.
We've got a big breakfast cook planned.
Mm-hmm. We're actually planning to do an episode of the podcast from the Airbnb, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Live from Memphis.
Anyone that's listening that's going to be there, like, please reach out to us because we'd love to give you a hug and...
Yeah, seriously.
Say hey, and maybe even get you on the podcast. Who knows?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you're listening, you're going to be there. Shoot us a DM. Let us know. Like, we want to meet up with all you guys. You know, that's what we're going for. Just so we can, put faces behind names.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But behind Instagram handles.
Yes. Yeah. Not necessarily names.
Oh, you're farting and waiters?
Yeah. Oh, hey, farts. All right.
Joel's got a follower, and his handle is at farting and waiters.
I used to hate doing that. Like, when I would go to an event, and I would go introduce myself to somebody and be like, hey, my name's Joel. And they'd be like, oh, hey, I'm like home cooking hunter. You know, it's like, yeah, it was just awkward. You know what I mean?
So now you're going to be like, hey, I'm Joel. That really like, I'm going to be like, who?
What's up, man? TRL, don't you know?
Anyway. The artist formerly known as the home cooking hunter.
I need a symbol. I need a little logo. But
you have a follower who likes to fart on waiters?
Farting in waiters.
Like so inside of like
restaurants? When you're in wait, no.
Like at restaurants, he goes around and like farts on people.
Yes.
Can you hit the crickets button? Can you hit the crickets button right there? Yeah.
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
But no, it's anyways, I'm lost from track. Let's move on to something else. So
Memphis and May will be there. Hit us up if you're gonna be there.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah, we'll be there. We're hoping to arrive Friday afternoon, mm-hmm. early afternoon, and then we'll be there through Sunday morning.
Yep.
Sounds good. So the other thing I wanted to reiterate on and hit on was the blood drive we've kind of all been doing for Stacy. That she a challenge she put out for her
hashtag get pumped.
That's her birthday.
And I'm proud to say that everybody sitting at this table did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, thank you.
I went this past week and I had a pretty interesting time. My wife told me that this was pretty standard, but I wanted to see if this happened to you guys. So I walk in, don't fill out any paperwork yet. You know, of course, like they're going to ask you tons of questions. It's very personal, like, you know, because they got to figure out what's going on with you and stuff.
I know this is going.
So the guy's like, he sits down. I'm just signing in. He's like, not to be offensive or anything. He's like, you know, he sees me in my build. He's like, but do you take any steroids or testosterone?
No way.
I thought you were going to say, have you had sex with a man in the last 24 hours?
Well, that too later on. But like before anything, he's like, do you take steroids or testosterone? I'm like, feeling pretty good about myself. I'm like, I do not. This is a body by barbecue. But my wife was like, oh, he probably asked that to everybody. And I was like, I don't think that's a common question to everybody. So I was wondering if you guys
was it
that.
Noah? Was it like a younger guy with bigger muscles?
No.
Shaved arms?
No, it was an older guy.
Oh, okay. That guy put my tourniquet on so hard. Like, I was, and I do it all the time because I'm a nurse, and I was almost in agony. Like, that hurt. I didn't even feel the needle. It was on so tight. And then the next day, I was tender.
I kept looking
for bruising.
Her arm was sore.
Well, back to me being having the physique of a bodybuilder.
Yes.
You gotta live it up.
No.
I didn't get that question.
I'm not surprised.
damn it. I walked right into that.
Right into it.
That's interesting. So when I walked in, the whole thing's automated. Like they put me in a little cubby with a screen and you just like check like the answers to the questions as you go.
So ours at the medic one, like you sign in and then they take you into like a private room where he asks you all the questions. Mm-hmm. And so it takes like 5-10 minutes, whatever. And then you go give the blood.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because you're cost from savings, the big city.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
The big city.
You guys are in Knoxville.
I know. Yeah, no, they like interrogate you and ask you all those personal questions. And they actually almost turned Joel and I away because through our past of having miscarriages, we found out that I had two blood clotting disorders. And which they say, our doctors have said that it's really healthy actually to give blood and kind of replenish and regenerate, you know, your red blood cells and stuff like that. And through finding out about myself, we went to a special doctor that tested Joel as well. And one of my blood clotting disorders is very common. The other is very, very rare. And he has the same exact two.
Whoa.
Which is really, really creepy. Wow. So
you guys should play the lottery together.
I know. So the doctor was actually in the middle of studies to figure out when two parents have the same exact two. So they thought they were going to go ahead and... So...
What's happening right now, Jeremy?
We have a surprise.
Oh, God. You guys are the worst. Oh, my God. What?
So
it's
Matt
a double down.
Matt and I, Joel McLeider, get back here. Yeah. Oh, I'm
we have so a surprise. Excited for this.
I didn't even know about this.
Oh, yeah. My God. I thought you were going to whip us a nasty hamburger.
What is this?
It's
That's
a double down.
There's like... Spooge coming out of the side of it.
It's frosting.
Dripping everywhere.
So Matt's wife, Julie, just walked in with a whole bag full of Double Downs from KFC. That's what they're called, right? Double Downs?
I don't know what they're called.
But, this one, it's like got a glazed donut.
They're two glazed donuts as the bun and a chicken filet in the center.
I think one of the employees glazed Matt's.
Look at that guy with that
Okay.
We'll have to get some pictures posted.
So Matt
on the
and
page.
I have been, well, and Julie, we have all been
scheming.
Inspiring and scheming.
How do you eat this?
I don't know.
So this is a hilarious. Special. Did you say it was a special from KFC? It's only available from like February 24th to like March 10th.
I've heard of them doing this before. I didn't know it was going on right now, but I'm almost certain it's called a Double Down.
Yep, a big old piece of fried chicken in between two donuts.
Julie, come over
this
here.
Is hilarious.
Real quick.
Are we all taking a bite of this?
Yeah, I'm taking a bite right now.
Oh, my goodness. Does this count as my first fast food hamburger?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
That's not bad.
That's glazy. Mmm. Mmm.
So, what is this actually called?
Jeremy, you're right. It's a Double Down.
But it's a Double Down.
Glazed donuts.
Mmm. It's hot, too.
So I thought that the Double Down before was like it was two pieces of chicken with like cheese and bacon in the middle of it.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
So is this, you had to order it.
They just called it a donut chicken sandwich.
Well, they could have came up with something a little bit more cool than that.
I'm not going to be hungry for a filet.
Well, you don't have to eat it all, but I wanted to give this a chance.
There is so much icing.
Mm-hmm.
I need a bib.
It's actually really good. I'm surprised.
Who would have known that fried chicken and deep fried donuts would be good together?
Seriously.
Yep.
Dude, it is good.
And this is technically breakfast, right? Because, you know, it's like a chicken biscuit.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
You pulled it off really well.
Yeah, the timing was perfect. The sweet and, like, savory together is actually really appealing. But I feel like I'm going to have, like, a... heart attack immediately after.
Is your diabetes going to kick in?
Yeah, or that.
Diabetes.
I'm having a hard time even finding a good place to get a bite.
Just unhinge your jaw and go get busy.
Like a snake.
I just punched it into my face. And then just open and close my mouth.
Be sure to save that.
What were we even talking about?
Oh, just giving blood and they almost...
they mistake me for a bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah, so that's this, right. Actually, I have a great segue for that. So they almost didn't let me give blood because I hadn't eaten anything that morning. So all I had had was coffee. And so when they did, like, they do, like, a little blood test or whatever.
Cold
to see,
PV. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, to make sure you're not, I don't
anemic.
Know. Whatever it is. I'm not a medical professional. But my pulse was super high from the caffeine. And she said that the caffeine actually makes it harder to get, like, a good stick.
Yeah.
Like, into the vein, too. So
she said the caffeine can, it can stunt your iron as well. So they told me, if you're going to give blood, don't drink caffeine before you do it because it can actually make your iron levels low.
And then if your iron level's too low, they won't let you give blood.
They told him that, which I've never heard that.
So I told them I hadn't eaten anything. All I had was 3 cups of coffee that morning, and they were like, okay, cool. Mm. They were just like, you greet God, you, with That's your right. amazing muscles.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
This Adonis standing in front of us here.
I do not believe how good this is. I thought it looked like garbage.
Well, is that why you got it for Jeremy?
Yes.
This is really good.
It is actually really good.
So I have a funny thing. Like, if I go to restaurants or I'm in public, I won't eat, like, really messy things. Like, I don't order wings at restaurants because they're messy and stuff. But I'm, like, totally comfortable eating this in front of you guys.
Well, yeah.
That says something about the relationship at this point, I think.
I got, like, frosting in my beard. It looks like me and Joel have been hanging out in the back together or something. Like,
I feel like I need to take a shower now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to pause for hand washing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, so we're back, and it feels like there's a dumpster fire in my mouth now. That was so good, but oh, man, I need a nap.
Speaking of dumpster fire, like, normally our podcasts are pretty controlled, and got a little hectic. I had, my kids were coming out, and one of them started crying, and then the dogs are barking, and then we got Julie plopping a big sack of chicken donuts on the damn table, and I'm like, what the F is happening right now?
You know? So we just looked it up. It's called the Donut Sandwich, which is the lamest name ever.
That is lame.
They really need a better name. Maybe we could we should add KFC and we should get a better name for them.
Yeah. We should figure that out. That's pretty dumb. But it was delicious.
I almost ate that entire sandwich. That was a huge sandwich. 2 full donuts and a huge fillet of fried chicken in the center. That was so good.
It wasn't a thin piece of chicken. It was thick and... But what's funny is, when you, see all these photographs of, fast food burgers or something on, their windows for advertisements or on TV, and it doesn't look like that.
Mm-hmm. It looked like that.
It looked like it, yes. And they had the glaze just dripping.
They were so generous with the glaze, it was coming out of the side of my box.
It was coming out.
I love it.
Exactly right.
So generous.
But yeah. Sometimes you bite into, a glazed donut, and it doesn't have, a full coating of that glaze. I mean, that's the best part.
Going to Krispy Kreme, there's a Krispy Kreme factory here in Knoxville, and you can get them, hot off a line, freshly glazed. Best thing ever, but...
So that's, a really kind of a cool take on chicken and waffles. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you get that sweetness.
Some fried dough and...
Yeah, that's really good. So this is probably a good segue. Jeremy, you were telling us before the podcast you had a chicken story.
Yeah, so if you guys listened to our last one, we had Farmer Paul on from Pasture Bird. Amazing birds. He sent us some out. We all cooked them. Absolutely incredible. And last weekend, I made some chicken and ribs on my pit barrel. Made a rack of ribs. We smashed those. I mean, we ate them before the chicken was even done. So good. Chicken gets done. It's something we're going to have for leftovers. It was just some cheap chicken I got at the grocery store. The next day, we go to cut into it. It's like rubber. You can't even bite it. It's chewy. It's just disgusting. We ended up throwing the whole chicken away because it was so bad. And that, in contrast to how good the pasture bird chicken was, is just like fun. I mean, I put this thing in the pit barrel over Jell-O Silvo charcoal, cooked it to temp, had a great rub on it, but it was like eating rubber. It was so bad.
Why? I think we got spoiled.
Like, was it really that it was bad, or was it just that you know what chicken's supposed to be now?
It was a very bad chicken. Like I halved it and smoked the halves. This was I don't know why I bought this chicken. It was like an 8.5 pound chicken. The thing was massive. It had so much fat deposits on it. The skin couldn't render. Like, it was flappy. There was nothing good about this chicken. I tried to take a bite of it, and I was having trouble biting through the chicken. It was so tough.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think this chicken was just so fat and so raised on all the steroids and antibiotics and all that crap that Farmer Paul does not put into his chickens, that it was so oversized and the meat just got super tough.
Oh, yeah.
And then there were all these fat deposits underneath the skin. The skin was so thick that it couldn't render. In the 4 hours I cooked it, the skin couldn't even render. That the skin was like leather.
That's freaking wild, man.
I think we're spoiled now because I don't even want any of the store-bought chickens anymore after trying the pasture
because
bird.
We talked about how expensive his were beforehand, and is that justified? And after having that horrible experience, I'm like, oh my god, it is so justified.
You've tasted what it's supposed to be.
I know a lot of our listeners actually jumped on that promo. And that promo, I think he said he was only going to run it for 15 days. So if anybody's listening and you want to try their pasture bird chickens. They're running a reload promo. You get 4 pasture-raised spatchcocked chickens, a bottle of Fully Loaded, a pasture bird hat, which is actually one of the Richardson 112 hats. So it's like actually a really cool hat to wear.
It's a nice
Joel's
hat.
Been wearing it. Yep. Yep. And then free shipping. Use code RELOAD10. You get $10 off.
Yeah. Awesome.
So depending on when you're listening to this, it may or may not still be active. Definitely worth a shot. To
that's
get
about, try. Yeah. I was about to say, like, I don't know when if this is going to be active when this one drops, but
good thing we had that conversation before the podcast about trying not to date things.
So I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh,
do you,
Jeremy?
Know?
I do.
Yes.
Remember back when we had our podcast with Al Dente Diva with T?
I do.
Remember the conversation on GIF and JIF?
I remember that. Yeah.
I want to debate this with you right now.
All right. So you're wrong. I'm right. I know debate.
So I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say, that the person who created the JIF calls it a GIF.
Let me just start off by saying I actually call it a GIF.
What the frick?
Your
whole debate just collapsed.
My whole plan just went away.
Because that's ridiculous to call it a GIF. I just wanted to screw with you because you didn't know that it's actually supposed to be called a GIF.
You remember the Bistro Bistro thing?
He just reversed me.
Yeah,
he
does. Yeah.
Well, I just like giving people crap for the sake of giving people crap.
I had this whole thing planned. I was going to like lay it on you thick, and mm-hmm. and you just
you can if you want
no,
to.
No,
it has to be called peanut butter.
The luster is gone. Thanks. Out of my.
I just took all the wind out of your sails.
You did. You just freaking you cut them out.
Stranded out there in the ocean.
I had all this plan. I was like, I'm going to get Jeremy on this one.
I'm going to get him good.
Well, for those of you who call it a GIF, it's a GIF. It's a hard G. Graphics.
Yep.
It's not giraffics. You know what I'm saying?
How long did it take you to think of giraffics?
A long time.
You should get a shirt, giraffics.
I was like, All right. Well, anyways.
Well, my birthday just passed, and I was surprised with a present from Joel and Jeremy, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah. It's hanging up over there.
It's hanging up behind.
Behind Matt's head, yeah.
Yeah, so
this is great audio.
So Joel tells me, "Hey, Jeremy's making some lava cakes on Friday. You want to go over and have some?" I'm like, "Oh, well, I'm not gonna say no."
Well, because Matt loves my lava cakes
and the cannolis.
So every time I make cannolis, like, these look like lava cakes. They don't at all.
They're the same thing. They're the same thing.
Same thing. One's a custard and one's a chocolate cake filled with ganache. But whatever.
So we got homemade. We got homemade lava cakes, and then.
Well, what spurned it? I'm gonna name drop someone here.
Spurn.
Sperm?
No, I don't have the word.
Spurred?
Spawned it.
No.
Now you guys are saying different words, and I forget what.
Shank.
I forget what I'm going. What encouraged me to make this is Joshua Wiseman came out with a Valentine's Day episode where he made chocolate lava cakes, but it was really just an undercooked chocolate cake.
Oh yeah,
I remember that. Like pissed me off because he's such a great cook and his guides are so awesome. I was like, that is not what a chocolate lava cake is. It is a frozen center of ganache surrounded by chocolate cake. Yeah. So I wanted to make them, and then your birthday was coming up, so I was like, hey, why don't you guys come over? Mm-hmm. We'll have chocolate lava cakes.
That's right.
Or and canales. I've always wanted this like really cool picture, and we could post it on the stories later after this airs, but. Jeremy handcrafted this picture that I've always wanted. That
so Stacy sent me this thing. Is it Raw Restorations who makes the original ones? She makes some really cool artwork. She's like, I've always wanted one of these. She's like, tell Joel to tell you to make this for my birthday. And so I sent it to Joel. I was like, Stacy told me to tell you to pay me to make this.
Well,
for
I never
birthday.
Knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never knew he could make it. But I said, look, it's $640.
It was the ultimate con,
and
Jeremy.
$640, and he said that's easy to make. And I said, yeah. I want that for my birthday.
I'm always up for a good challenge, so it was a lot of fun to make.
I was blown away by it, too, man. It's freaking clean.
Have you guys said what it actually is?
No.
So it's like a picture of, it's like you took...
The mountains.
It's like wood slats in the shape of mountains and sky. It's very cool. Like, we'll just have to put a picture of it on the
Reload podcast. Go to That Reload podcast page, and we'll put a post up or something on it.
All right, so at this point, guys, we need to probably get those fillets on a smoker. Jeremy, since what we're doing is we've got 2 beautifully marbled, you know, Black Angus prime fillets.
Mm-hmm. Huntsman family meats.
Yes, and we also have some bone marrow.
Yes, so they sent a full bone split in half, so like a canoe.
Oh, so it was split in half.
Yeah, so it was a full bone split in half, so we have quite a bit of it, of bone marrow. So we're going to roast that, because when you roast that, they call it bone butter, beef butter. And we're going to top the fillets with that as like a little topping.
How are you going to roast it?
So I have never done this before. So if anybody out there is a professional at roasting bone marrow, you know, let us know. Shoot us a DM if we screw this up royally. But we're going to roast it about 350 degrees for about 20 minutes till it gets just a little jiggly, because it's pretty tough in there right now. It's congealed, you know, because it's kind of like a fat or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's congealed. So we're going to roast it just until it gets smooth enough to where we can scoop it out, and that's pretty much it.
Do we season it with anything?
So, yes, we can season it with salt, pepper. We can do a little Magnum on it if we want. Actually, some recipes I've seen online, people, after they've prepared it and everything, or before it's cooked, once it's prepared, they'll scoop it out raw, mix it with a bunch of stuff like a compound butter, put it back in the bone, and then cook it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think, being our first time doing it, just mm-hmm. do the traditional roast yeah. is kind of where we're going. So you want me to go into how I prepared it now, or you want to wait until we come back?
Well, I was going to add to it that, you know, you said it was split. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went on their website, because you can go to HaltemanFamilyMeats.com and get these bones. Mm-hmm. But he said to put in the notes that if you want it split, to actually put it in there so that they yeah. know to let their butcher know to split it. So and I would assume they come whole.
There are different ways to split it. So we did like the canoe style where it's split long ways mm-hmm. so you can scoop it out. But you can also have them just cut like 2-inch segments of the bone. So you have like little shot glasses and you just kind of cut it out and dump it onto your thing.
I've had that before. And I'll talk more about that yeah. In the second half.
Yeah. So with the preparation of this, how would you do the steaks? You know, because would you want to do them with Magnum or salt and pepper? Is the butter going to be the star? I mean, I don't.
No, I think just Magnum would be good. Magnum is a perfect steak blend.
Good complimentary flavors. Yeah,
because I've never had anything marrow at all.
I made some sourdough this week, and so I brought a loaf over so we can toast up some little pieces of sourdough and put yeah. some on there too, just to try it by itself. But generally, the bones themselves, people just put like salt and pepper on them.
Okay. Cool.
So I will say that when you get your stuff from Haltemann's, it comes not frozen. It comes fresh. So it's kind of like the full butcher shop experience. We froze them because when we received them, we weren't sure when we would get to use it, because you need to use it within a few days.
Yeah.
So basically what we've done is we thawed it out in the fridge for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremy, from there, how are we prepping it before the cook?
So I did a bunch of research. Like I said, this is our first time doing it. And from what I found, what a lot of people do is you put it in a saltwater solution overnight in the fridge. What that does is it leaches all the blood out of the bones, out of the marrow. So you have a much purer, cleaner tasting marrow when you're eating it. Now, I did 12 hours. I think 24 would probably be better. Like, if I were to do it again, I would probably do 12 hours. The water is going to get all red and murky because it's pulling that stuff out. Dump the water, do another 12 hours with that salt solution in there. And from what I've seen online, if you do it long enough, that marrow will be, you know, pure white.
So
which ours is not. It still has a little pink to it, you know, in certain areas and stuff, but I think we're gonna have a really good eating experience.
So you put it in the saltwater solution. It's already, like you said, already split, so the mm-hmm. marrow has exposure to that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What was the saltwater solution ratios?
So it's salt and water.
Well, mm-hmm. ratios.
You think I measured something? I measured it with I measured it with my heart. Yeah.
He measures with his heart.
He salt made that shit.
Off the forearm.
That's right. So I could not find any measurements in any of the videos or the blogs that I was researching. So what I did was I just salted it like I would pasta water.
Yeah.
Just so it's okay. Salted like the ocean, and that seemed like to do.
I love this.
That seemed to do the job. It pulled out a bunch. I put it in last night. This morning when I got up, that water was pink. And I took a before and after picture, and you could tell there's a definite difference.
Yeah, you showed me. There was a big difference.
Some of the videos I saw, I think they did it for more like 24 to 36 hours. And, I mean, it was pure white bone marrow. There was not a trace of anything in it. So if you do it long enough, which that would be a good experiment to maybe do in the future, one with zero brine, one with like a 24 or 36 hour brine, you know.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, this is really, really delicious, so I'm sure this is not going to be the last time we do this.
Well, let's get started. Let's take a break. Let's go get these steaks out. Let's get all this prep, get these things cooking, have a couple beers, and come back and Try that, Jez.
Mm-hmm. Get that bone in my mouth.
Mm. All right. See you in a minute.
Please continue to hold for our next available agent. Please continue to hold.
All right, guys, so we're back now. We've got our Halteman's Prime fillets here seasoned up just nice with some Magnum seasoning, and Jeremy has roasted up some beautiful tasting, or not, I haven't tasted it yet, beautiful looking bone marrow butter, and we're going to jump in right now.
Jeremy. We're all about to take our first bite, so cheers, guys.
All right,
cheers.
Here we go, cheers. Mmm.
Mmm. That's probably hands down the best fillet I've ever had.
Biscuit eater.
So I really wanted to pair the bone or the bone marrow with the fillet because the fillet is known for being so lean.
Oh my gosh.
And the fattiness of this bone marrow is incredible with it.
I cannot believe this.
I'm going to try the bone marrow by itself.
So what internal temperature did you cook the fillet to? Because it's perfect.
Wait. Start us off at the beginning on the fillets.
Walk us
all the way through it.
Hey, this is ridiculous.
Why don't you guys just eat and enjoy yourselves, and I'll talk a bunch. You know, no big deal. You guys enjoy that because you worked hard for it. So what we have is between the four of us, we have two prime fillets from Halteman Family Meats, which Joel mentioned. We season them with Reload Rub Magnum, which is the steak blend, which I think Matt and I are currently obsessed with because it's so incredible.
It's the best. It's the best.
So we cooked those on the Camp Chef, smoked them at 225 for probably 45 minutes or so until they reach 110 internal. And then I seared them on the Camp Chef grill box, which is like 800-900 degrees, put some cross marks in them, let them rest for a few minutes. The bone marrow was seasoned just with some salt, some kosher salt, put in the oven at 350 degrees for about 20-25 minutes until it got to a nice jelly-like consistency and was roasted all the way through. I poked it with a toothpick just to make sure it was cooked all the way through, and it came out, you know, super jelly-like, and that was it.
So have any of you all tried the bone marrow by itself? Like, it's kind of given me like an oyster, flavor. Am I wrong on that?
You're wrong on that.
What are you getting from it? I'm getting some weird flavor I recognize.
Like, it's a very jelly-like consistency.
But the flavor I'm getting is...
So, this is ridiculous.
It's like very fatty.
It's kind of like when you have a ribeye
that's
like properly rendered. Like the fat on the ribeye is properly rendered on the outside. It's just... The best way I can describe it is just like ultra beefy.
I'm not saying the texture is like an oyster. I'm saying like it's the...
Here, taste mine.
Well, it came off the same damn bone.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, this is like...
Yeah, I think yours is different, Stacey. You should definitely give it all Joel.
Yeah. I don't know. It's delicious.
In fairness, I've never tried an oyster, so...
Is anybody else think this is like the best filet ever?
I don't know.
This is extremely good.
This is ridiculous.
This is... No. I'm not even kidding. This is probably... Not probably. This is hands down the best fillet I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. So we're huge on making like a gorgonzola butter for our fillets or like a compound butter, but we will definitely be getting more of these bones to do. So how did you roast the bone? Did you already talk about it?
Yeah,
I was like in my own euphoria over here.
I just preheated the oven to 350 because we were using the smoker to reverse sear the steaks. Otherwise, I would have done it in the smoker to put a little smoke flavor on it, but we're having plenty of that on the steak.
So just coarse salt all over the split bone.
Yep. I might use some cracked black pepper next time, fresh cracked black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Tongue twister there. But that would be it. Very simple because this thing is so packed full of flavor. And then we seasoned the steak very well with the Magnum, so I really wouldn't be concerned about seasoning the,
That's what I was about to get at is I think with the Magnum seasoning on the filet with all that fresh cracked pepper and that, mm-hmm. I don't think you would have needed it in the butter.
How long did you roast the bone for?
Like 25 minutes maybe, just until it was jelly. Like you'll definitely want to put it on a pan because you're going to have some rendering onto the pan. But just about 25 minutes in the oven, and then I poked it with a toothpick. It was nice and jelly-like all the way through. And I was telling Joel, even if you overcook it, just let it cool down a little bit and come to that consistency because it will turn to liquid if you overcook it.
I think for the marrow, the thing to me that it's given the filet is like a richness in the mouthfeel. Like it feels...
A mouthfeel.
Yeah, it's more like
it's like coating your mouth.
Yeah, where normally...
It's very buttery.
Because the filet is so lean, you miss that.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, it's definitely an amazing pair. I highly recommend y'all so trying this.
This bone marrow is making it.
Yeah.
That's
I'm in love with this.
I am too. So this Julie, is definitely not the last time.
Julie, my wife, is walking back in empty handed this time.
Julie, please try this.
I want her to try this filet.
Come on, you got to. Come
here. I'm not kidding.
I'll give you a dollar.
There's none She's on resisting. This piece.
No, I'm a sissy. No.
There's none on this piece. You don't even want to look at it?
No.
I'm so
I'm gonna tell you, Magnum.
That's her loss, man. Come on, Jules.
You know, we get messages from people saying, how would you describe Magnum? And it's like, I feel like I'm doing an injustice by saying it's kind of similar to like a Montreal steak seasoning, but it's like...
No, it's better. It's like God sharded on my steak. No,
but first he ate some of those glitter pills, you know, that you can like eat and then they'll turn your poop to glitter.
And he ate truffles and mm-hmm. he ate bone marrow and then he sharded all over your steak. I'm telling you, Magnum. Bone marrow.
This is good. Like,
yeah. All right, so that's awesome.
Now saying that... now saying how awesome this is, I would not put this like on a ribeye. That would be, like, too much. It would be over the top.
Too rich.
Too much fatty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Too much oil, too much buttery. A filet of this. This filet is so tender and flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
The beef has such a great flavor, which their stuff is grass-fed, grain-finished.
Hmm.
That's very common in the industry for higher quality mm-hmm. cattle. Now, you guys were sitting inside talking and drinking beers while I cooked the steaks because you guys are a bunch of lazy bums. But
it's such a great partnership.
The fillets were actually flaring up like a ribeye would when I was searing them, and I was really surprised by that because they have such a great marbling to them, which you don't normally see in a fillet. Like I was like when I opened the grill box, I saw like some flame ups, and I was like, "What in the world?" Like you never see that with fillets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was marbled all throughout it. When Joel and I looked at it when we unpackaged them, the fillets had really nice thin marbling.
You don't see that a lot. You know what I mean? You don't get to see. I mean, like. It made me think of Wagyu. I mean, I know it's not Wagyu, but it made me think of that. Like, that's a lot of marbling.
I'm about to suck those bones.
Oh, my God.
Hey, why don't you tell
Say
me
that?
Why don't you tell me that later?
Stop. Where you're at.
I got bone marrow for you, baby.
It's that good. No, really. There's residual on those bones. So what's great about that is we roasted and we, like, scooped out the bone butter to
I
put on our steak.
I just spooned it on, yeah.
But we can take those bones now... boil them down and make a ridiculous...
You can make a bone broth.
A bone broth.
Mm-hmm. Have any of you had ossobuco?
Yes.
No.
So is that... I haven't had it either.
It's the same thing, but with that is a cross cut with all the meat still attached to the outside of like the shin bone or something like that.
Yeah.
Nice thick bone.
Mm-hmm. Shank.
This is the shank. Now this is the same bone just cleaned off of all that meat split lengthwise into a canoe... And then we're just getting the marrow out of it. But when you cook ossobuco, you get a little bit of marrow because it's cooked low and slow.
Yeah.
That marrow is being pulled out into the ossobuco to flavor the whole thing.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So one time we were at this really nice steakhouse in Disneyland. I forget what it's called. But
hey, Matt.
Yeah. It was whatever the steakhouse
was.
How
do you like your steak done, Matt?
Right.
Sorry.
So... high-end place. They served like what Jeremy was talking about before the break.
Yeah.
With like the little...
The shot glass of marrow.
Yeah. And I didn't know what it was for. So I didn't realize you're supposed to scoop the marrow out and like mm-hmm. put it on a steak. And so I just...
You picked it up and drank it?
No, I didn't even eat
it.
I thought it was like a garnish.
No.
So now I'm upset with myself for not having enjoyed that.
That was...
The more you know.
Yeah.
This marrow was...
So Stacy went and got a bone. She's like licking it out now.
Yeah, just slurping. She's going to funnel her beer through the bone.
So a very common thing to do with these is just to scrape it out and put it right on like a toasted point, piece of toasted sourdough bread or something because it's so flavorful.
Yeah.
Even just a piece of bread, it's like the butter for it.
Yes.
That's why like I really wanted the filet because it's like... known to be not as flavorful as other cuts.
Man.
You know, I would do this with like a sirloin or something, like to upgrade it, you know?
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, as great as this steak was, let's talk about, we've got coming up here on this, our next episode, we have a...
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Nope, two Tuesdays.
Yeah. Well,
the
after
Tuesday
this
after this episode comes mm-hmm. out will be...
our great guest.
It doesn't matter. Yes. But
I don't know where you're going with this, so...
Well, we have a great guest that's going to be airing after this episode drops. His
a real-life Marvel character.
Yes, he is an Iron Man. But anyways, it's an incredible, inspirational story. This dude is one badass mofo, and you are not going to want to miss this episode coming up next week. But with that being said, we're gonna finish eating this jazz.
Finish? I'm already done, man.
Well, I got a few bites left.
I can help you with that.
I bet you could, but you won't.
You want to put your beef in my mouth?
Yes.
And we'll see you guys next week on That Reload Podcast.
Go to reloadrope.com. Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Reload Rub and Seasoning. Head to reloadrub.com to pick up the full arsenal of our delicious blends, perfect for amping up your next meal. No MSG, clean ingredients, and a portion of every sale is donated to Hungry Heroes, serving those who serve others. So head over to reloadrub.com and order yours today.
I used to have the pop socket on my phone, and I would play with it. I played with it so much I broke it, so I just took it off. I was like...
That happened to me when I was in middle school, too.
Yeah?
I just played with it so much I broke it.
Did you?
Yeah.
You went blind. How's everybody's
mark that one. I played with it so much I broke it.
Yeah. 10 seconds.
It didn't take long at all.
That's about all it took, too.
When he was like, that's what we're going to get, I'm like, I thought y'all were doing this, and it was like the fast food. I was like... No, I was like, I'm a fast food connoisseur, but I have standards. Like,
I'm a fast food connoisseur, but I have standards. Oh my god, that's the title of the episode. That's
awesome. I missed it.
I thought
I'm a fast food connoisseur, but I have standards.